This is the IELTS listening test. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in four parts. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Now turn to part one. Part one. You will hear a man phoning the owner of a holiday cottage. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 6.
Hello.
Oh, hello. I was hoping to speak to Jack Fitzgerald about renting a cottage.
I'm his wife, Shirley, and we own the cottages together, so I'm sure I can help you.
Great. My name's Tom. Some friends of ours rented Granary Cottage from you last year, and they thought it was great. So my wife and I are hoping to come in May for a week.
What date did you have in mind?
The week beginning the 14th, if possible.
I'll just check. I'm sorry, Tom, it's already booked that week. It's free the week beginning the 28th, though, for 7 nights. In fact, that's the only time you could have it in May.
Oh, well, we could manage that, I think. We'd just need to change a couple of things. How much would it cost?
That's the beginning of high season, so it'd be £550 for the week.
Ah, that's a bit more than we wanted to pay, I'm afraid. We've budgeted up to £500 for accommodation.
Well, we've just finished converting another building into a cottage, which we're calling Cherville Cottage.
Sorry, what was that again?
Cherville. C-H-E-R-V for Victor, I-L.
Oh, that's a herb, isn't it?
That's right. It grows fairly wild around here. You could have that for the week you want for £480.
Okay, so could you tell me something about it, please?
Of course. The building was built as a garage. It's a little smaller than Granary Cottage.
So that must sleep 2 people as well?
That's right. There's a double bedroom.
Does it have a garden?
Yes, you get to it from the living room through French doors. And we provide 2 deck chairs. We hope to build a patio in the near future, but I wouldn't like to guarantee it'll be finished by May.
Okay.
The front door opens onto the old farmyard. And parking isn't a problem. There's plenty of room at the front for that. There are some trees and potted plants there.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 7 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 7 to 10.
What about facilities in the cottage? It has standard things like a cooker and fridge, I presume.
In the kitchen area, there's a fridge freezer, and we've just put in an electric cooker.
Is there a washing machine?
Yes. There's also a TV in the living room, which plays DVDs too. The bathroom is too small for a bath, so there's a shower instead. I think a lot of people prefer that nowadays anyway.
It's more environmentally friendly, isn't it? Unless you spend half the day in it.
Exactly.
What about heating? It sometimes gets quite cool at that time of year.
There's central heating, and if you want to light a fire, there's a stove. We can provide all the wood you need for it. It smells so much nicer than coal, and it makes the room very cozy. We've got one in our own house.
That sounds very pleasant. Perhaps we should come in the winter to make the most of it.
Yes, we find we don't want to go out when we've got the fire burning. There are some attractive views from the cottage, which I haven't mentioned. There's a famous stone bridge. It's one of the oldest in the region, and you can see it from the living room. It isn't far away. The bedroom window looks in the opposite direction and has a lovely view of the hills and the monument at the top.
Well, that all sounds perfect. I'd like to book it, please. Would you want a deposit?
Yes. We ask for 30% to secure your booking. So that'll be £144.
And when would you like the rest of the money?
You're coming in May, so the last day of March, please.
Fine.
Excellent. Could I just take your details so that I can...
That is the end of part one. You now have half a minute to check your answers to part one.
Now turn to section two. Section two. You will hear a man who owns a holiday home talking on the phone to a woman who is staying there. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 13. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 13.
Hello?
Hi, it's Laura Carlton here. We've just arrived at the holiday flat, but I can't get the hot water and heating to work.
Oh, right. That's easy. Don't worry. In the upstairs cupboard, you'll find the water heater. You'll see three main controls on the left at the bottom of the heater. The first one, the round one on the far left, is the most important one for the heating and hot water. It's the main control switch. Make sure it's in the on position. The switch itself doesn't light up, but the little square below will be black if the switch is off. That's probably what's happened. It's got switched off by mistake. The middle one of these three controls, you'll see it's slightly larger than the first one, controls the radiators. If you feel cold while you're there and need the radiators on, this needs to be turned to maximum. The last of the three controls, the one on the right, is usually on about a number four setting, which for the water in the taps is usually quite hot enough. Below the heating controls in the middle is a small round plastic button. If there isn't enough water in the pipes, sometimes the heater goes out. If this happens, you'll need to press this button to reset the heater. Hold it in for about 5 seconds, and the heater should come on again. Then there's a little square indicator under the third knob that's a kind of alarm light. It'll flash if you need to reset the heater.
It sounds complicated.
I'm sure you won't have any problems with it. There should be some more instructions on the side of the heater. Call me back if you can't make it work.
Okay.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 14 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 14 to 20.
While you're on the phone, we haven't managed to find a few things we need, like extra pillows for the beds and some washing powder. Is there any here?
Pillows, yes. If you look in the cupboard, the large white one upstairs, to the left of the bathroom door, there should be 4 or 5 on the top shelf. And if you want to do some washing, there's some powder for that, probably by the back door. There's a kind of shelf there above the sink. In fact, I'm sure there's some there in a large blue box. You need about 1/2 cupful for each wash. Oh, and that reminds me. The spare key to the back door is hanging on a hook on the wall by the sitting room window. Please make sure to put it back when you've used it. The previous guest lost it in the garden and I had to get another one made. And if you have any trouble with the lamps, you'll find some spare bulbs in a large cardboard box. It's on top of the washing machine with all kinds of useful things in it. Oh, and another thing I forgot to mention when we last spoke.
Yes?
I've left you a local map, so you'll be able to find your way around easily. It shows the whole area. I put it in the top drawer of the chest under the TV in your bedroom. There's a whole file of local information in there too.
Thanks. What about visiting the town? Can you give us any advice?
Yes. You'll need to take the car. It's too far to walk from the flat, really. You have to pay to leave your car in all the car parks now, I'm afraid. I like the one that's by the station best, and you can walk to the town centre from there in 5 minutes. That's where all the best restaurants are. But if you want a takeaway, the Italian one does really good pasta and pizzas. Call 732281 for that one, or 766119 for the Chinese. They're both good, and they'll both deliver to the flat. As for places to visit, yes, do go and see the Railway Museum. The exhibition is small, but really good. It gets very crowded on Sundays, so I suggest you visit it on a quieter day, later in the week, but not on Thursdays, which is market day. You won't find anywhere to park, and it's also the only day of the week when they're not open. Anything else?
Not for the moment. Thanks.
That is the end of section 2. You now have 1/2 minute to check your answers.
Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear James, who is in the Scandinavian Studies department at his university, talking to his tutor, Beth. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Oh, good morning. You must be James. I'm Beth Cartwright. Please call me Beth.
Thank you.
Now, as this is your first tutorial since you started on the Scandinavian Studies course, I'd like to find out something about you. Why did you decide to take this course?
Well, my mother is Danish. And although we always lived in England, she used to talk about her home a lot. and that made me want to visit Denmark. We hardly ever did, though. My mother usually went on her own. But whenever her relations or friends were in England, they always came to see us.
I see. So I assume you already speak Danish, one of the languages you'll be studying?
I can get by when I talk to people, though I'm not terribly accurate.
Now, you probably know that you'll spend the third year of the course abroad. Have you had any thoughts about that?
I'm really looking forward to it. And although Denmark seems the obvious place to go because of my family connections, I'd love to spend the time in Iceland.
Oh, I'm sure it can be arranged. Do you have any plans for when you graduate? A lot of students go on to take a master's degree.
I think the 4 years of the undergraduate course will be enough for me. I'm interested in journalism, and I quite like the idea of moving to Scandinavia and writing for magazines. I'd find that more creative than translating, which I suppose most graduates do.
Okay. Now, how are you finding the courses you're taking this term, James?
Well, I'm really enjoying the one on Swedish cinema.
That'll continue next term. But the one on Scandinavian literature that's running at the moment will be replaced by more specialized courses. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in watching Danish television programs, there's going to be a course on that the term after next.
That sounds good.
Have you started thinking about the literature paper that you have to write in the next few weeks?
Yes. My first choice would be to do something on the Icelandic sagas.
The trouble with that is that a lot of people choose that topic, and it can be difficult to get hold of the books you'll need. Why not leave that for another time?
Right.
You might find modern novels or 19th century playwrights interesting.
I've read or seen several plays in translation, so that would be a good idea.
Fine. I'll put you down for that topic.
Right. So what would you advise me to aim at in the paper?
First, I suggest you avoid taking one writer and going into a great deal of detail. That approach certainly has its place, but I think you first need to get an understanding of the literature in the context of the society in which it was produced, who it was written for, how it was published, and so on. I also think that's more fruitful than placing it within the history of the genre.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Before you hear the rest of the discussion, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
Could I ask for some advice about writing the paper I'm working on about the Vikings? I have to do that this week, and I'm a bit stuck.
Of course. Have you decided yet what to write about?
No, I haven't. There's so much that seems interesting. Viking settlement in other countries, trade, mythology.
Well, what I suggest is that you read an assignment a student wrote last year, which is kept in the library. It's short and well-focused, and I'm sure you'll find it helpful. I'll give you the details in a moment. Textbooks usually cover so many topics, it can be very difficult to choose just one.
Okay. I've got a DVD of the film about the Vikings that came out earlier this year. Should I watch that again?
If it's the one I am thinking of, I'd ignore it. It's more fantasy than reality. But I've got a recording of a documentary that you should watch. It makes some interesting and provocative points, which I think will help you to focus your topic.
Right. So then, should I work out an outline?
Yes. Just headings for different sections at this stage. And then you should start looking for suitable articles and books to draw on. And take notes, which you organize according to those headings.
I see.
Then put short phrases and sentences as bullet points under each heading. Make sure that this skeleton makes sense and flows properly before writing up the paper in full.
Okay. Thanks. That's very helpful.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Section 4. You'll hear a talk on the subject of the urban landscape. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I have been asked today to talk to you about the urban landscape. There are two major areas that I will focus on in my talk: how vegetation can have a significant effect on urban climate, and how we can better plan our cities using trees to provide a more comfortable environment for us to live in. Trees can have a significant impact on our cities. They can make a city as a whole a bit less windy, or a bit more windy if that's what you want. They can make it a bit cooler if it's a hot summer day in an Australian city, or they can make it a bit more humid if it's a dry inland city. On the local scale, that is in particular areas within the city, trees can make the local area more shady, cooler, more humid, and much less windy. In fact, trees and planting of various kinds can be used to make city streets actually less dangerous in particular areas. How do trees do all that, you ask? Well, the main difference between a tree and a building is a tree has got an internal mechanism to keep the temperature regulated. It evaporates water through its leaves, and that means that the temperature of the leaves is never very far from our own body temperature. The temperature of a building surface on a hot sunny day can easily be 20 degrees more than our temperature. Trees, on the other hand, remain cooler than buildings because they sweat. This means that they can humidify the air and cool it, a property which can be exploited to improve the local climate. Trees can also help break the force of winds. The reason that high buildings make it windier at ground level is that as the wind goes higher and higher, it goes faster and faster. When the wind hits the building, it has to go somewhere. Some of it goes over the top, and some goes around the sides of the building, forcing those high-level winds down to ground level. That doesn't happen when you have trees. Trees filter the wind and considerably reduce it, preventing those very large, strong gusts that you so often find around tall buildings. Another problem in built-up areas is that traffic noise is intensified by tall buildings. By planting a belt of trees at the side of the road, you can make things a little quieter, but much of the vehicle noise still goes through the trees. Trees can also help reduce the amount of noise in the surroundings, although the effect is not as large as people like to think. Low-frequency noise in particular just goes through the trees as though they aren't there. Although trees can significantly improve the local climate, they do, however, take up a lot of space. There are root systems to consider, and branches blocking windows and so on. It may therefore be difficult to fit trees into the local landscape. There is not a great deal you can do if you have what we call a street canyon, a whole set of high-rises enclosed in a narrow street. Trees need water to grow. They also need some sunlight to grow, and you need room to put them. If you have the chance of knocking buildings down and replacing them, then suddenly you can start looking at different ways to design the streets and to introduce tree planting.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.